Good morning, Idrisa. I have to say that every time I come here, I'm the one being blessed. Every time the Pastor Dylan allows me to come to share the Word of God, I feel like, yes. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for being so welcoming to me and my family. And thank you for doing the extra mile to understand my accent. I know it's not easy, but bless you. And thank you for everything. I believe since last time I came here, about 3 months ago, I went back to Brazil. I went to see my family and friends, and it's wonderful to be in a place that have beautiful mangoes and nice fruit and the sunshine. We wake up with the sun in your face. It's beautiful. In a place that now we have over 2 million savvy digital. 1% of our population now share the SDA faith. It's wonderful. The other side, or the scale of the perspective, is we see a government who not seem to be willing to care for God's natural beauty. So we see part of the beautiful forest, part of the Amazon be burned down. And the excuse was, well, it's so big. Doesn't matter if we burn a size of England every 2 years. And I keep thinking, what is inside the mentality of those who don't care about others? What is inside? The analogy I can find is, if you have a cup of tea, I like the cup of tea analogy. So if you have a cup of tea and someone bump into you and the content of the cup is spilled, and if I ask the question, why the content was spilled, you're going to say to me, well, because someone bumped into me. Because someone bumped, I lost the balance, and this happened. But perhaps that's not the right answer, because the reason why the tea was spilled out is because it was a tea inside of the cup. And it's quite logical, isn't it? But if it was a hot chocolate, the same thing would happen. So then you have hot chocolate being spilled. That makes sense? Mm-hmm. Brothers and sisters, when life comes along and problems come to life and bumps and someone hits you and affects you, what has been spilled out? What come out from the action? Is my question. If you've been filling up the cup with the goodness of God, if you've been filling up with all love and care, when life comes along, the problem comes, what comes out is the consequence of a good life. However, if what I've been accumulating inside of my cup as an analogy for my life is the bitterness, is the fight, that will come out so easy. And the only thing you can see is the words, is the actions. That is not what God asked us to demonstrate. What we've been feeling, the cup as an analogy for our lives, is what we can show when the tough and the troubles come. I want to share another story, and the title of my sermon is the message that is wrestling with God. So we have the beautiful story of Jacob. And the text that we follow will be Genesis chapter 32, 22 to 30. And they tell us that night, this is Genesis chapter 32, verse 22 to 30. And say, that night Jacob woke up. He took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and sent them across to the Jabbok River. After he had crossed the stream, he sent over everything he owned. So Jacob was left alone. A man wrestled with him until morning. The man saw that he couldn't win. So he touched the inside of Jacob's hip. As Jacob wrestled with the man, Jacob's hip was twisted. Then the man said, "Let me go. It's morning." But Jacob replied, I won't let go unless you bless me. 27, the men asked him, what's your name? He answered, Jacob. 28, then the men said, your name will not longer be Jacob. Instead, it will be Israel. You have wrestled with God and with people, and you have won. Mm-hmm. Jacob said, please tell me your name. But he replied, why do you want to know my name? Then he blessed Jacob. So Jacob named the place as Peniel. He said, I saw God face to face, but I'm still alive. The beautiful story of Jacob. For many years, Jacob has been, he's left his father's house. He escaped his father's house, running for something he has done. The story, I'm focused from the point there, now he have a decision. His father-in-law, Laban, he's been taking advantage of him for many years. Was a difficult father-in-law. If you know one of those, you understand what a difficult father-in-law is. I had the privilege to have a very tough father-in-law. A man of not many words. And for many years we've been, you know, have strong moments of fellowship. But I can see the way God acts in my heart, in my father-in-law's heart, make us somehow understand each other. And today I can say I love the man. I love him because he's a man of God, and he has done everything he could to profess his faith, and he has my admiration. But that is not the case of Jacob, so he had a difficult father-in-law, and Laban was taking advantage of him. Remember, this is the kind of man who don't buy a second-hand car. He switched daughters in the day of the wedding just to make sure Jacob could work another 7 years for him. So over the years, he was just taking advantage. It doesn't matter whatever is the deal, he always makes sure he had a part, a bigger part of the pie. So whatever he told to Jacob, he break the contract. So now let us change now. I think you're doing so well doing A. Let him take more of the business now. Jacob knew he could not do anything. It was very difficult to carry on in a land that he was mistreated, that he was taken advantage. What was the other option for Jacob? Go back home? He knew that a death sentence was written in his name. His brother. So we will not let him go easy. And he knows that. In Hebrew culture, honor means life. And once you break the honor, you must be killed. And he knew that. His brother have an army of 400 men waiting for him. If he stays with his father-in-law, his life, you'll be full of anxiety, depression, and he could not carry on. If he goes back home to his father's land, death was waiting for him. So what to do now? When we don't have a solution for our problems, what we do? We pray. So Jacob went in the direction. He decided to pray to God. He said, Lord, this is the situation. I don't know what to do. So now that I cannot drive, take the wheel. So do something about it. Lord, please take control of my life because I cannot do much. Perhaps if Jacob had just go back in time and ask God to take the direction, he could avoid many other problems. And as he sent his, the text said he sent his family. And it's amazing how the way he sent his family, he splits the family in two, just in case Saul came and find the family and perhaps something could happen to them. How do we split your family if you have to escape? How do we split your kids in case something terrible is about to happen? Which half of your family go first? Which half of your family go left and right? And how do you take that decision? I keep thinking. And Jacob have to decide how to split the family for at least 50% be safe. Jacob could not go back to his land. at what he's done to his brother. Jacob could not continue with his father. So there is not much decision, there is not much option for this man now. He needs to trust. Brothers and sisters, I keep thinking, some of the problems we encounter these days perhaps seems an example of God is trying to talk to us, try to speak. Listen, I know something that you don't know. I know the future. So you have to trust me on that. Lord, I don't know if you're going to go, if I'm going to apply to job A or B. I don't know what to do. You have to trust me. You have to do the ethical and the moral perspective. You have to do what is right and let God organize your future. Look how challenging this is. That requires a lot of trust. That requires a lot of relationship to allow someone to take care of my life. A relationship perhaps broke with Jacob. A relationship perhaps that Jacob never had one with God. Now he has to bring back the trust, the belief in Jehovah, the God that he never trusted before. So what to do? Jacob prayed. And he was alone. The Bible, some translation said he was left alone to pray. And as he was praying, a man came. At least he thought it was a man. Came close to him. And he started wrestling this man. Perhaps he thought it was one of the soul, his brother's men who came to kill him. Perhaps that was the rationale. It was wrestling this man. For those who've been involved in martial arts, perhaps jiu-jitsu, karate, judo, you know that wrestling for hours is not something possible. A match most likely is defined in 20 to 40 minutes. But now we see Jacob wrestling for hours and hours and hours with this man. He was a strong man. Verse 29 tells that Jacob, before he arrived in the land of Laban, he opened the lid of the well. Remember the story? He opened the lid for those to be able to take the water home. He done this by himself. The text tells us that normally they gather seven people, seven families to be able to move the well or the lid of the well. He done himself. So he was a strong man, a man with knowledge to wrestling. So he was someone who knew about his fight. Didn't take long for him to understand that he was fighting against a supernatural or someone who does have a supernatural power. And I can see the way he was dealing this fight against this man. How long are we going to be fighting, brothers and sisters? As Jacob kept carrying on his fighting with this man, the man touches him. And the text said, the man saw he could not win. That is confusing because we're talking about God here. So God could not win Jacob? Let me go. Jacob said, no, I cannot let you go until you bless. And the man touched Jacob. God could not win Jacob. In Hebrew, the saying is not that God could not win this man, but now it's time. Let me go, because it's time for you to fulfill your promise. It's time for you to go back to your father's land and fulfill the promise. It's time for you to become the man that I want you to be, a new man. So your name, Jacob, will be changed. It's coming for you. You're going to get a new name. Because I want you to change the way you did in your life. Let me go. Because it's time for you to cross this river. See your brother. And understand what I have for you. I cannot let you go, said Jacob. Brothers and sisters, this is my last hope. Say, Jacob, I cannot let you go. I cannot carry on living my life knowing what I have done to my brother, to my father. I cannot let you go without being blessed. I need your blessing. I'm tired. I'm tired of the anxiety, the depression, and the sadness. To remember my past, and I know what I have done, but I cannot change the past. I need your blessing. I need to be blessed again. I need to feel that I can carry on, knowing that from now on I'm doing God's work. I have God to my side. I cannot let you go until I be blessed. What a powerful, powerful statement, church. If every morning we pray to God, I cannot let you go, Lord, that you bless me. I need to make sure that this morning, and during this day, I will be blessed. I cannot carry on in my life as a nurse. I cannot carry on in my life as a teacher if you don't bless me. I cannot be the best I can be if you don't bless me. I cannot do that. I need your assurance. Wow. This is extremely powerful. Lord, I'd rather die today than carry on a life without a blessing. Lord, I'd rather not see my family again than not be blessed by you, than not be guided by you. I'd rather losing everything that I have, I prefer it, than not be blessed by you. I needed to be in control of my life, Lord. For the past at least 22 years, this has been my life. Fighting against my father-in-law, having the consequence of my actions because I betrayed my father and I betrayed my brother. Lord, please change. I need a deep change. Something must come to my life now, Lord, that I can feel, that I can carry on. A new man. God asked him, what is your name? My name, Lord? My name is Jacob. I can see how Jacob didn't get the question. God is asking, what is your name? Do you remember when the encounter he had with his father, Isaac? Do you remember the question that his father asked him when he asked for the birthright? What is your name? Why his father was asking that? What is your name? And Jacob lied to get what he wanted to get. Lord, what I want, I really deserve. And I know, let me help you a little bit here, Lord, because no, I think there's something wrong. I deserve the birthright. My brother could not care less. I'm just helping you, Lord, to get what I deserve. And his father asked, what is your name? And he said, Saul. My name is Saul. So the same question comes now to Jacob's life, and what is your name? Now we have a chance for change. Tell me your name. Lord, my name is Jacob. My name is Liar. My name is the one who betrayed. This is the meaning of my name. If that is your name, I have to change, said the Lord. You'll no longer be called Jacob, but you're going to be called Israel. And the meaning of Israel means a prince who will fight with God. From a liar, from a deceiver, to a prince. Beloved Church, what God wants from us is transformation. Whatever we are, whatever we bring today, God can transform. God can change something that seems impossible to be changed. Lord, who I became is not what you want me to be. So I need you to transform and to change something here. Start with my name. If you like your name, or if you don't like your name, remember, you will have a brand new name, full of meaning in that great day. A name we're going to represent exactly that the position that now we become sons and daughters of the great Jehovah. A name full of meaning in a place full of meaning. And that will be heaven. We will not be no longer be called Jacob, instead Israel. Then Jacob asked, what is your name? Now that you know my name and you seem to know everything, what is your name? Jacob asked to the man that now we know it was God himself. My name? You ask. You know me. I'm the great God. I'm the great God who created heavens and earth. I was there when you were born. I'm God. Do you realize that you've been wrestling with God? You've been fighting against me all your life? I realize that the problems you've been encountering is not because of your personality and the way the society deals with you. The problem here is because you don't know me. You don't know me. The question that God asked Jacob to remember me. Remember, I'm the God of Abraham. I'm the God who creates every single thing. And I'm the same God who want to guide you now that you have a new name and you're going to become a new person. You can now fulfill your destiny because now you're a new creature. You're a new person. The fulfillment of your destiny starts from what is inside of this cup. The fulfillment of our destiny means that you have to fill this cup, the whole life and Christian journey, full of the goodness from God. That wherever we go, whatever we spill out of this cup, and the content of this cup, means we're spilling God's love and care. It dies our challenge as Christians. Our challenge not to chase the perfection of life, our challenge to be guided by God, allowed Him to use us every day. That is the main challenge. In verse 30, so Jacob named the place Peniel. He said, I saw God face to face, and I'm still alive. Let us call this place Peniel. Let us call Kidminsa a place of change, a place that I come to see God and talk to God for a change. Lord, please, now I want to call this wonderful place that I come every Sabbath to worship you. I want to call the place a place of change, a place that I can invite brothers and sisters and friends to see God through my actions. Look how complex. And when this cup will be filled with God's goodness, I can share. And when life comes again and hits me back, when my boss persecutes me, when the boss treats me really bad, I can bring back the goodness of God. And when my marriage is not on track, I can always remember that the Lord is my shepherd. And there's no need for fear. He is in control. When the problem comes, I have the assurance that my cup, as an analogy of my life, will be filled with God's goodness. Are you tired, brothers and sisters? Are you tired to fight against God? Are you tired for the anxiety of not having Him in control? Are you tired not to get the blessings and the promises that you believe that you deserve? Are you tired? So now is the time. Now is the process of filling up this cup. Now is this process of transformation. God already knows that you want a new name. God already knows that you want to be in a new place with Him. The process of transformation requires a willingness to accept God. A process of accept He is in control. A process of accepting that He can change. If you are tired of running and wrestling against God, if you are tired to look for solutions that the world presents, if you are tired, rest in God's hand. Rest knowing the God, the great God of the past, He still can make a miracle today. May God continue to bless us, Lord, the church, knowing that when we leave today, a transformation can be done if you're willing to accept Him as our Father. Amen.
Amen. Amen.